I'll just say yes. You lead the way. I'm not afraid of what it means for me to say that this life you gave is not my own. I'm trusting you to hear my yes and lead me on. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. My life is yours.
I'll just say yes.
Yes, Lord.
To your will. Yes, Lord, my life is yours. Good morning, Blog Talk family, Running for Christ Ministries family, Running for Christ Ministries, of course, being the church of teaching, learning, and doing. And we are here to be taught the Word of God so we can learn what God has to reveal to us so we can be about doing it. I say to you, I'm glad you're with me on this last Saturday in December and the last day of the year 2022. But we are not going to celebrate the end of the year and the beginning of a new year as much as we're going to keep celebrating Christmas. As we learned last week, for us, Christmas is every day. So with that being said, let us pray. Father, this morning we thank you for your word. We thank you for your son. We thank you for your presence. We just say thank you that we are here. Even, Lord, as we just look through the news this morning, there are a lot of people who have not made it through this year. Their life journey has ended, but we are here. And because we are here, we want to submit ourselves to you, your will, and your kingdom. We're coming to you this morning, Father, not just to learn information, not just to fill out lines on a sheet of paper, but to know you and to know you intimately and in the way you have revealed yourself to us. Let that be our prayer, not just this day, but ongoing, in Jesus' name. Amen. So I say good morning to my class who is online. If you're not, grab your Bibles. We're in the New International Version if you can. If not, it's okay. Read whatever translation you have. It's still God's word, unless you come with something real foreign, and then I'll tell you. But we're going to be in a special place. We are studying about what we believe, not just what, but why we believe. And we believe the gospel, which is good news. I hope you got your sheets. If you didn't, you're going to be taking a lot of notes in this class, but it's okay. You'll get your sheet, and then you'll be up to date. So I hear some noise in the background, so that means I got some people with me. So good morning,
Amen.
Folks.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Merry Christmas.
Good morning, my sister and my brother.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mother.
Good morning. I hear that voice. Been a minute, yes.
Amen. Amen.
All right, so we're going to get into the gospel, the good news. I'm going to teach you how to say the Greek word, euangelion, which is good news, gospel. It's the good tidings, good news. But I also have given you, I'm going to give you little study hints and helps when you're in your Bible study or when you're going back over the lesson or if you're just reading the scripture that'll help you grow in your knowledge of the word and understanding. And so on the sheet I gave you keys to understanding the Old Testament. I've referenced them a little bit. Some folks have them already. And it reads as follows. Names have meaning. People and places. We know that the name of Jesus saves. Salvation. Names have meaning. People. So places have meaning. We're going to look at today one place particular. The name of that place has special meaning. Geographical movement matters in Scripture when it says they went east or they came from the east or they went west or they went up or they went down. These things mean something, so you need to learn how to pay attention to them when you're looking at it in Scripture. Family lineage is important. I know we don't like reading those long genealogies, but the reality of it is they have meaning, especially the genealogies of Matthew and Luke, because they directly tell us who Jesus came from. God hates idolatry and rival gods. God hates them. It's not even, that is why, you know, what I think the first commandment is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Don't bring up any other gods in my presence. So when we pray, even when we say, Father, you know, and we pray to the God of heaven, we're not praying to God in Allah or Buddha or Krishna or whoever. We're not praying. No, we're talking to the Most High, the one and only true living God. And then, of course, primary goal of prophecy in the Bible is correction. It's not on your sheet, but I'm going to have you turn to a scripture we read last week. Go to Isaiah chapter 9, and somebody read verses 6 and 7 of Isaiah chapter 9.
Okay. Verses 6 and 7, Isaiah chapter 9. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen.
All right. Now, for those of you who know, this is the prophet Isaiah prophesying about a king who will come. And when this king is born, it says to us, a child is born, human being, but a son is given. Going to learn how significant this prophecy and those poetic words that Isaiah wrote in his prophecy are actually explaining or telling us something. And then it goes on to give the description of this king, his names, and what he'll be and who he'll be. He'll be a descendant of David. He'll sit on David's throne, and that the Lord's zeal is going to bring this about. The Lord is going to make this happen. Very important. As we go deeper into gospel, this good news, these good tidings that we're reading. So if you have your sheets in front of you, somebody read the memory verse for us so we can get this verse in our spirit. If we hadn't memorized it, it's a good one to put in their memory.
But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. Amen.
Thank you, Mother Irma. Amen.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You. All right. So that's a good, and so we just got through reading in Isaiah, for unto us a child is born, and a son is given. And now in Galatians, we have the Apostle Paul telling us that God did do this. So now that we've got bookends, let's get into this middle. All right. Got a little bit of reading here to do, and I'm going to do it for you because some of it's a little bit wordy, but I hope it helps you understand. The Greek word for gospel is euangelion, which means good news or good tidings. This word being used during the time of Jesus in the early Christian church was not used to refer to religious or theological meanings, but it is an extremely political word often used to refer to empires, kingdoms, or victories. Note that again, this word wasn't used in religious, theological, or meanings, but it was a political word. It was used to refer to empires, kingdoms, or victories. 9 years before the birth of Jesus, the Roman Empire issued the Priene inscription in recognition of the birth of Caesar Augustus. So it was Caesar Augustus on his birthday. They issued this declaration that would be read, that would be heralded throughout the Roman Empire. Every place that Rome had control of, this document would be taken to and read to the people there. And what we have here is an excerpt from that document, which reads as follows. Since Providence has set in most perfect order by giving us Augustus, who she filled with virtue that he might benefit humankind, sending him as a savior, both for us and for our descendants, that might end war and arrange all things. And since he, Caesar, and inherit from this Lord by his appearance, surpassing all previous benefactors and not even leaving to posterity any hope of surpassing what he has done, and since the birthday of the god Augustus was the beginning of good tidings for the world that came by reason of him. And I located a piece of this. There's an actual piece that is in the museum in Berlin of this Priene inscription. And it was to designate on Caesar's birthday, specifically Caesar Augustus. And if you notice the language in it, it calls him a savior. It calls him someone who would end all wars and arrange all things. It gave him godlike, they deified Caesar Augustus in this document. And they acknowledged his birth as this special day in which the gods that they worshipped had designated Caesar as their god. So this was a document to worship Caesar Augustus.
Wow.
Name quite familiar with us. But when you hear the language, sounds like somebody else, doesn't it? Well, 9 years later, this person enters into the world. So let's get into the Bible and let's read why it was so powerful, what happened when Jesus was born. Somebody read Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 55.
It reads as follows. And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. Amen.
Amen. All right. So this is, of course, we call it the Magnificat, Mary's song after she has visited, when she's visiting Elizabeth and found out that, you know, the angel had told her that Elizabeth was expecting a child, which, of course, was John the Baptist. And then after their little visit, this is what Mary exclaimed, that the Mighty One, and notice her language, she said the Mighty One in verse 49 has done great things. And then at the beginning of 51, he has. In the beginning of 52, he has. Beginning of 53, he has. Beginning of 54, he has, past tense, meaning it's already done. But remember, has Mary given birth yet?
No, she's pregnant.
She's pregnant. But yet her declaration is saying that the Mighty One, God, has already done this. Remember we said last week, the kingdom began once Christ entered that womb.
Amen. So,
okay, we're gonna work on proving that, because the next things that are coming are big time declarations. All right, so we're still with me. We're still in Luke. Somebody read chapter 2, verses 1 through 7.
At the time, Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for the census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in snuggly strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them.
All right. Thank you, brother.
Yep.
All right. At that time, question number two, who did people believe was the Son of God?
I don't know.
Okay. Good answer. I like those answers. All right. Remember, for the last 9 years, on the birthday of Caesar, it was read the Priene inscription for 9 years throughout the Roman Empire. So wherever Rome controls, that includes in Judea, they would read this inscription. So for 9 years, every year people heard that Caesar is the Son of God. Specifically, Caesar Augustus is the Son of God. And the reason he had that term, Son of God, is because he is the child of Julius Caesar. And Julius Caesar was elevated to the deity of God when he died.
Words.
So in their historical view, Julius Caesar was a god, and Caesar Augustus is a son of God.
Oh, wow.
Now, it's so much into this, but so to understand that, so when he made this declaration, now mind you, he didn't do it because he was just wanted to know who was where and get some more tax money. There was a hand that was behind the scenes, because the whole world had to move. The whole Roman Empire needed to move because they wanted to know who was from where. So everybody had to go to their hometown, which, of course, meant Joseph had to go to his. All right. Let me get to question three so I don't get ahead and get too deep. Okay. What's important about Augustus's decree? I just gave you the answer, but.
Well, since he decreed that you had to go to your birthplace to pay taxes, then that put Jesus in Bethlehem, which is what Micah predicted.
Yes. Right. Absolutely right. So to position, Joseph had to go to his hometown, which is Bethlehem, his family town. Just a little bit of historical background. Our Bible translations are not quite good at translating certain things. That phrase, that he was born in the inn, there was no room in the inn. They were going to Joseph's home family, so where Joseph was from. So he had family there. So I know we've gotten sermons and we've seen videos and movies where they're like knocking on indoors trying to get a place. They had a place to stay. They stayed at the family home. But if you would see how their family homes were designed, there would be upper rooms, upper layers, and then on the bottom layer there would be a stable situation where the animals would be kept for purposes of keeping people from stealing them, number one. But also they, you know, the animals they used, they didn't go out to the field and milk a goat. They would go downstairs and milk a goat. So there was no room for them in the upper rooms. So they stayed down in the stable area with the animals because family was coming from all over town. Also, that meant that there were some women around who would assist Mary with this birth. So Joseph didn't have to do this out in the cold cave on his own. I know we've seen the pictures, but if you look in true Jewish history and in that time, this was the description. So we got a little bit lost in translation, but it's okay because we still got Jesus where he needed to be born. And I'm thankful, Rebecca, for bringing that out, sister, about Micah prophesying that the child Bethlehem Ephrata would be a special place. And so that means that Bible prophecy is about correction, not just in correcting something wrong, but making something right. So getting the child to be born in the place where he needed to be born at. And then also, Bethlehem, which was about 70 miles away from where they lived at, Galilee. Bethlehem, anybody know what the name Bethlehem means?
House of bread.
Amen. Absolutely right, house of bread. But let's also talk about a little bit more that's special about Bethlehem. Bethlehem was a city that was known to raise the lambs that would be used in the temple. So who was from Bethlehem? What famous person in the Old Testament grew up in Bethlehem?
David?
David. What was David's profession before he got drafted into the army?
Shepherd.
So David was a raiser of sheep for the temple. And what would happen is when the lambs would be born, the shepherd would take the lambs, especially the ones that were designated for the temple use. Remember, they had to be without blemish or spot. They couldn't be crippled. They had to be perfect. And they would take the baby lamb, because baby lambs, like most baby animals, are clumsy when they're born. They don't walk right. They don't. And they would take the ones that were designated for use, and they would swaddle them, wrap them in strips of cloth so they would not bruise or break while until they got strong enough to stand.
Oh, wow.
So remember that movement, geography is important. So then moving to Bethlehem. So isn't it something that our Savior was born in the place where the lambs were raised for sacrifice?
Amazing.
Good news, right?
Very, very.
All right, so now let's get into this big declaration that takes place. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 12. Somebody continuing the story.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger."
Amen. Thank you very much, Naomi. Good morning.
Good morning. Right.
So here we have heralded good news. Remember, for 9 years on Caesar's birthday, they were heralded that Caesar was son of the gods, the gift from God, who was going to change the world, who was going to save the Roman Empire. And then now these shepherds who are out in the field watching over these lambs that are designated for this special purpose are visited by an angel. And this angel is a herald. And this angel declares to them good news. He said in verse 10, "I bring you good news of great joy. I am bringing you gospel, euangelion." So he brings them good news. Now, let me ask, who did the angel appear to, and why is this significant?
He appeared to the shepherds.
Right? And I put under parenthesis, think of Old Testament people.
Didn't he appear to Joseph or Mary, telling them that they'll have Jesus?
First he did, but this particular, when Jesus was born, he appeared to shepherds. Who in biblical history do we know were shepherds?
David? I couldn't think of anybody else.
Well, this guy started out not being a shepherd, but after he had to go on the run, he spent 40 years being a shepherd.
Oh.
Moses.
Moses.
So we have a king that was a shepherd and a deliverer that was a shepherd. Also, a little insight into shepherding. Shepherding was not, this job was not given to the highest people in the house by this time. As a matter of fact, tradition dictates that shepherding, especially shepherding at night, was not given to the boss. Shepherding at night was given to the low people, the folks who would have to be out there, who'd have to fight animals all night, who wouldn't sleep well, probably the lowest paid. And there's some historians that actually think that some of these shepherds may have been women, because women were traditionally shepherds as well. Remember,
wow.
Famous name, Rebecca?
Oh, yeah.
Where was she at when the servant found her?
I don't remember.
Okay, I'll give you a little hint. The servant had prayed to God, the God of Abraham, that when he got to Laban's place, when he got to Abraham's descendants' house, that if the whoever this woman was, that she would come out and offer to water his camels. And so Rebecca was out in the field shepherding when the servant approached her. Somebody else was also in this same family, but another generation away, was out in the field shepherding when a man noticed her and fell in love with her.
Ruth.
Nah, she was gleaning. Go back.
Naomi. Was it Naomi?
Go back.
No. Oh,
go back to Rebecca and Isaac. Who did they give birth to?
Dana.
Jacob and Esau.
Jacob and Esau. Who did Jacob see in the field when he first approached?
Oh.
Rachel.
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 She was shepherding.
Wow.
Also, yeah. So traditional history dictates that women did shepherding too. So, you know, we don't have that in our text, but this was probably a mixed group that the angels appeared to, not just men.
But the humble.
The lowest people on the totem pole, which we know in their tradition, women weren't considered very high up. So the shepherd appeared, the angel appeared to the lowliest of people, the most humble of people, and brought them this good news, this euangelion, that somebody was born. What was the news? Question five. What was the good news that the angel had given him?
Your birth, the Savior has been born.
Yep. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born. He is Christ. He's the Messiah. That was the good news. And also, this king, this is a king. The king has been born. The kingdom has come. See, remember, euangelion, it wasn't about religion. Excuse me, it was about empires. It was about kingdoms. It was about victories. So it was political. And this angel appeared to this low group of people and gave them the news that a king is here. And he was born in Bethlehem. Now, by them being Jewish and having gone to Torah school, they would have realized Micah said something about Bethlehem. Isaiah said something about somebody from David's line sitting on the throne. And now this good news is that that person is here. All right. Good news, different than the news of Caesar's birthday.
One wants to collect and one wants to give.
Okay. Let's look in verse 10 and the last part of verse 10.
Afraid, he said, I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people.
All people. Where under Caesar's declaration, it was given to, it said, both for us and for our descendants. It was only to the Roman Empire.
Oh.
And, of course, that would definitely mean people of stature, more than likely. So it was only to the Roman Empire. But here, this good news was given to all people, everywhere. I have a scripture reference, so go to it. Genesis chapter 17, and somebody read verses 1 through 7 of Genesis 17. Put these pieces together.
When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. Serve me faithfully and live a blameless life. I will make a covenant with you, but by which I will guarantee to give you countless descendants. At this, Abram fell face down on the ground. Then God said to him, this is my covenant with you. I will make you the father of a multitude of nations. Once more, I am changing your name. It will be no longer Abram. Instead, you will be called Abraham, for you will be the father of many nations. I will make you extremely fruitful. Your descendants will become many nations, and kings will be among them. I will confirm my covenant with you and your descendants. After you, from generation to generation, this is the everlasting covenant. I will always be your God and the God of your descendants after you.
Thank you, Mother.
Welcome.
And here we have God's covenant with Abram, and specifically there in verse 6, he says, I'll make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. And so this is God's promise through Abraham. It wasn't just one nation. It was many nations. It wasn't just for those people over there or this group right here, which is like a lot of people try to do. You know, it's only for America. It's only for Israel. It's only, no, God's promise, God's covenant with Abraham was that he was going to be a blessing to all nations. All right, got that? So when we hear this declaration is made in Luke by the angels, when this good news is given, the angel says this is to good news to all nations, not just the nation of Israel, not just the Roman Empire, but to all nations. In other words, this is God fulfilling his covenant.
Amen.
That's how God operates in the world, through covenant, through agreement. And so here, this good news is like, it's happened. This is it. This is what we've been living towards and looking towards. I know this stuff is so exciting to me, y'all, so forgive me if I get. We're back and still in Luke chapter 2. Somebody read verses 13 through 15.
It reads as follows. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. Amen.
All right. So now we get the appearance of an angelic host with this one angel. that when the angel, one angel appeared, the first thing the angel said to them, do not be afraid. Because in scripture, when people saw angels, it was terrifying. So take out of your mind the picture of little cute fat-faced cherub angels that, you know, I know there's a whole collection of them, Precious Moments, where, you know, little baby-looking angels with wings and little precious little harmless people. Angels were terrifying. They were huge. Their presence was huge. The countenance was huge because they've been in the presence of God. How'd I know this? Let's go to Isaiah chapter 6 and somebody read verses 1 through 3.
It was in the year King Uzziah died that I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Attending him were mighty seraphim, each having six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. They were calling out to each other, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's army. The whole earth is filled with his glory. Amen.
All right. So here we have angels. Isaiah saw the Lord enthroned, high and lifted up. We love to sing the songs, and it's perfect because that's how he saw them. But notice the position of the angels, the seraphs, if you would. It says they had two wings that covered their what?
Face.
Mm-hmm. So that means that angels do not do what?
See?
They don't look into the face of
humans
or God.
Mm.
They don't look face to face with God. Remember the scripture says that God talked with man, with Moses like a man, face to face. Angels do not look into the face of God. They cover their faces. I'm going somewhere. 1 Peter chapter 1, and somebody read verses 10 through 12. Okay, so I'm getting to the answer to my question that is here.
This salvation was something even the prophets wanted to know more about. When they prophesied about this gracious salvation prepared for you, they wondered what time or situation the Spirit of Christ within them was talking about when he told them in advance about Christ's suffering and his great glory afterward. They were told that their messages were not for themselves, but for you. And now this good news has been announced to you by those who preached in the power of the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. It is also wonderful that even the angels are eagerly watching these things happen. Amen.
All right. So this good news that is Peter is declaring, as the apostles and the disciples of Christ preach to now to the world. But this good news was such good news, the prophets were looking forward to it, but the angels even were curious about this event because, again, they don't look into the face of God. So now if we go back to Luke chapter, what we just read, beside the angelic appearance, what a significance. The angel showed up because God showed up in the flesh. And they would get an opportunity to rejoice about that because they could see God in the flesh. It's awfully quiet out there because you're thinking about it.
Yeah, I don't
know. God, who they cover their faces, they could not look into the faces, has now been born in Bethlehem. And now they show up when this happens because they too now can see God in the flesh.
Oh, okay. Wow.
So this is more than just a, you know, pretty story. One author was saying it's more than just the Charlie Brown Christmas when Linus is standing on the stage reading, and it just found this is great news. This is amazing, especially to a people who have heard for 9 years that Caesar is the son of God. That a human who was birthed by a human is the son of God, not this baby. God, I'm going to mess up the word, monogenes, the one and only, the only begotten, not because he is birthed by physical birth of God, but he is the same essence of God. So he is by relation the son of God. Jesus is born. Let me keep going because I can get real technical. So they saw deity incarnated. So, yeah, the angelic, they showed up for this. Just one angel declared it, and the rest of them said, oh, we're going to see this. And then, of course, we know the shepherds. Question?
No, I was just not getting the significance of the angels showing up. I thought they just did that as a favor to the shepherds.
This was big news. Because remember, this isn't just a political declaration, y'all. This is also, which we're going to get into as we go further, this is a spiritual declaration as well. Because there's more than one realm that's being dealt with the incarnation of the king and his kingdom. It's
Amen.
Not just about earth. It's also about heaven. We're going to keep going because that's some weeks ahead, and I want to build us up to when we get there, we'll go, yes, okay, I get it. All right. Luke 2, verses 16 through 20.
They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angels had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherds' story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them.
All right. So what was the response of the shepherds to what they had heard and seen? How did they respond?
They let them know a child had been born, as they were told.
And they spread the word.
Just as the angel had told them.
But it says even when they verse 18, and all who heard it were amazed. Verse 17, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. It was exactly, you will find this baby in a manger, wrapped up like you wrap up your sheep, and they did.
And it's still a mountain.
Because they didn't sit and just sit in the field going, wow, we saw angels. Man, did you see that angel? How big was that angel? How many of them were there? What was all that noise? What was that light? They didn't sit there and just meditate on the angels. They actually went to see who the angels were heralding. Because a lot of times we get caught up in the what's happened instead of let's go see and then wait. The person that should be being worshipped is not the angels, but the child. Because the other thing they did is said that they went back to the field, they went back to work, they went back to their job, but they were praising and glorifying
God.
Thank you.
Not the angels, not Mary and Joseph, forgot. Because, again, they're thinking their Bible, Old Testament, Micah. They're thinking Isaiah. They're thinking Abraham and the covenant. They're thinking about this declaration means something. This birth means something. This means that even though they were taught that they were looking for a political warrior leader, here he is. There's a king born from the line of David in Bethlehem, and we've seen it. What God said is true.
Mm-hmm.
So this was word and confirmation of the word of God. What God said, what God spoke in the past, they were seeing it actually come to life right in front of them. And so I think there's a good place to stop right here. Any questions? I'm going to kind of go back over a little bit to review. And if you got a question, please don't hesitate to ask it. And like I said, the only dumb question is the one you don't ask that you need the answer to. So just by way of review, names have meaning. Bethlehem, Jesus, salvation, save. You want the gospel, good news. It has meaning. You want to, it meant more than just our simple definition, Christ died on the sin, buried, died on the cross, buried, and rose on the third day according to the scripture. No, good news is the king has come. The king has come, ushered in his kingdom, even though he's in a manger wrapped up in swaddling clothes. Geographical movement matters. The fact that they had to go from Galilee to Bethlehem, it matters. Why? Because that was what Micah had said, that it would be a special time, a blessing would come from Bethlehem. Family lineage. This is the line of David. God hates idolatry and rival gods. Caesar is a rival god. Julius Caesar, Caesar Augustus, any king that comes, they're rivals. When they make the declaration that they're a god or gods, God hates that. Any person who exalts themselves as God, God hates that. That's a bad position to be in. And the primary goal of the Bible is correction. See, the world was looking for a king from them, and the world was not ready for the king that came from above. And again, even the angels were curiously going, what? God? In the flesh? They didn't see that coming. So Mary's song declaring that the kingdom, that what God had done was done. It was already done, that right now, but not yet. Caesar thinking he's God, gonna find out he's not. Let's see. The shepherds, the lowest people, the lowliest of people. And now you got a broader version of shepherds, not just being a few good men. It's possibly there were some women in that group as well, younger women, maybe unmarried, who would be off the work for a living. A new kingdom and king had come. That was the angelic declaration, the good news. And that it wasn't just for the Roman Empire. It was for the whole world. Christ is king of the whole world right now, seen and unseen world. He is king. As we go forward in our weeks, we're going to be studying the gospel and not just, again, the death and resurrection of Christ, but we're going to be looking at we just looked at his miraculous birth over the last couple of weeks, born of a virgin. We're going to get a little bit more into that. We're going to look at his life, the life that's revealed to us in Scripture, how he lived and moved through life, and how he lived a sinless life, thus fulfilling the law. We need to understand that because remember, he was born under the law, but to lift us who were under the law to a better state. We'll get to that. And that the miracles he performed, they actually are declarations. Little hint, some folks know, I'm working on a teaching about how the declarations that Jesus, the I Am declarations, were assaults, actually declarations against the gods of the world at that time. So when he says, I am the bread of life, I am the good shepherd, I am the way, the truth, and the life, that they actually thought that other people were, other gods were those things. So there's a kingdom issue that's definite. This king is making declarations, just like God did in the Old Testament when he sacked the gods of Egypt. Every plague was a direct assault against the gods of Egypt. So we're going to be looking into that and, of course, summarizing with the death and burial and resurrection of Christ. So I pray that you're excited, you're looking forward to finish out and start this year. The king has already come. His kingdom's already here, and we are a part of it. So with that, I'm going to just pray, and we will move into our morning service. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the great declaration, and we thank you that you revealed this not just to great men but to us. And we pray that your word will do exactly what you called it to do, to strengthen us, to build us, to grow us, and to help us realize that we are part of your kingdom and that we have a king right now reigning and ruling over every area of our life. We lift you, we glorify you, we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much, Sister Pastor Janice, just for your faithfulness and studying and sharing God's word with us. And we just look forward to next year, which is next week, to continue on. Thank you so much. Have a great day. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks. All righty. Hey, get your coffee, your tea, your cookies and crumpets. And after this selection, we will start our morning worship service. Amen.
Father, I give your name praise and glory and honor. I bless you for being my everything. I thank you right now, God, for being my provision, my leader, my guide, my comforter, my friend, my companion. And today I owe you my prayer. I owe you my worship. Hallelujah. I bless you, God, for being the greatest God in the whole world. I will sing to you in this holy place. I will tell of you even in the marketplace. I will pray to you in my secret place. Everything. Yeah, I stand and give you glory and praise. For you are my everything. Hallelujah. Come on, stand and take 3 seconds to begin to worship God right now. I don't care where you're standing. I want you to lift up your holy hands and begin to offer a worship, a praise, of appreciation to the Lord for being your everything. For all mankind, I will continually praise your holy name for the rest of my life. I can stand and testify that none compares to you, for you're El Shaddai. Oh yeah, you are my everything. Father, I give you the praise and the glory and the honor, for you are my everything. bless your holy name this day. And God, I will let the whole world know how great you are. What an awesome provider, what an awesome comforter, what an awesome friend, what an awesome God. I just want to testify a second. You're my life. Lord, you're my strength. You're everything to me. Even when I feel like giving up, you're my joy. So divine. Yes, you are. And Lord, you're my peace that surpasses all understanding. When I don't know where I'm going to turn to. Lord, you're my hope in the time of trouble. Coming from somehow, some way you make a way. You're my life, you're my strength. Lord, you're everything to me, and I gotta testify. You are my joy when I feel like crying, when I feel like giving up, when I feel like throwing in the towel. You're my peace. Well, the devil thought he was gonna take my mind. For the trial of this life, you step right in on time. You became my hope in the time of trouble. When the gas prices went high, you still made a way. You are my life. You're my strength. All understanding, you calm my mind, just like you calm the sea. You're my hope, you're my dreams, you're my vision. Yeah. You're my life, you're my strength, you're everything to me. That's why I gotta give your name the praise. Lord, you are.
Life, strength, joy, peace. You are my everything, Lord. Jesus is the reason for all the seasons. The last Saturday of the year, and this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, and welcome, Block Talk listeners all around this beautiful world, to Running for Christ Ministries Saturday morning worship service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Saturday morning worship experience, brought to you by Running for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask that you tell someone else that this Saturday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with our proclamation, scripture, and prayer. And at Running for Christ Ministries, we believe is vital, and the word of God tells us so. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. Why we are here, proclamation. We proclaim that Jesus the King preexisted as God the Son, was sent by God the Father, took on human flesh in fulfillment of God's promises to David, died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, was buried, was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, appeared to many witnesses, is enthroned at the right hand of God as the ruling Christ, has sent the Holy Spirit to his people to effect his rule, and will come again as the final judge to rule. Amen. I will be reading for your hearing scripture from Luke 2, 1 through 14. It's titled The Birth of Jesus. Here reads the word of God. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth to Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloth and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior was born. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his great and mighty word. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who will take part in this worship service now or later. Father, we give thanks today for this opportunity to offer up to you some much-deserved praise and thanksgiving. We pray that our songs, prayers, and the preached word lift up Jesus so that all those who are lost today will be found today. We ask that you heal the sick and comfort the many believers. We ask that you bless the preacher with a word from you for all of us to hear and obey. We thank you for life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. Dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask all these blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank God. All right. Amen. Now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own shepherd, Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
I'm life is in your hands. You are my life. That's the goal, right? For Jesus to truly become our life rather than trying to make Jesus, amen, make his life become our life. You know, his life is our life. That is the life of, like Jesus said, I always do those things that please my Father. Wherever the Father is, there is the Son also. And that means wherever the Father thinks, wherever the Father wants to go, whatever the Father wants to do, Jesus is in total agreement with that. Jesus said, the works that I do, the things that I do with my hands is my Father working through me. That's when you can say, Jesus is my life. When Jesus has control over your personal, your family, your church, and civic life. Jesus is my life. That's the goal, to make him more of our life, okay, and less of our life so that we can have everything in eternal life. One of the things that we need to recognize going into 2023 is not that Jesus needs us, but that we need him.
You know, as I get older, I come to realize that I can't do this on my own. After all the hard knocks, the bumps and the bruises, I just always seem to end up right back here.
All of you in every way is my very earnest plea. And in your hands, I place my life. It's the ultimate security.
So here I stand, once again, with my hands upraised. Like a child, I reach out to you. All I have to say is, need, yes I do. Every day of my life, oh Lord, I need you.
My heart is filled with gratitude for all the things you've done for me. I'm so grateful, grateful, grateful for you that makes my life complete. So let it be where with thee, here before your throne. So in your ear, I wanna make it clear that my request is known.
I can't live here without you, Jesus. Amen. Makes life altogether worthless. Go through all of this. You know, I'm reminded of something Shirley Caesar said in the song she sang called Caught Up. Ain't nowhere in the world I want to live here and go through all this hell, literal hell, right, fighting with the devil and his nymphs, right, and then go to hell. Lord have mercy. I don't want to end up like that. Life is bad enough. Amen. And I'm telling you, it was the Lord's will that we remain in Eden, right? But we messed that up, right? So now we're out of Eden, sin nature, the whole nine yards, right? But I thank the Lord that for this situation, you know why? Because it makes us, it should make you, it makes us, instead of just making you mad and bitter and upset and sitting in the corner talking about, okay, it ought to make you reach out for Jesus every day. I wake up every single morning. I thank God for getting through the night because y'all know how it is, right? I thank the Lord for my wife. I thank the Lord for running for Christ, for all my brothers and sisters in Christ, for my family and for my friends and for my children and grandchildren. I ask him that every month when I wake up. That's what we're talking about before the day even gets started. Amen. What the reason the Lord uses all these things to make them work together for our good is so that we'll get closer to him. You know how when children get scared, what is the first thing they do? Go grab the leg of their parent and hold on. And they stand right there in the shadow of their parent and hold on. Why? Because they've been made afraid. And they run to their security. They run to their protection. Well, guess what? Jesus is our security. He's our protection. And guess what else he is? He's our forgiveness of sins.
Where would I go without your hand holding me? And how could I live without you? I can't see. Lord, what would I do in life? Where would I go now? How would I handle things? All that I know is I'm mine again. Lord, I fall so short, you know, you know I am, Lord, from the I need you.
start. You know my heart. Everybody say,
I need you.
Hey.
I need you.
Everybody say, I need,
I need you.
I need you.
I need you.
Oh, oh, my mind.
I need you. I need you.
I need you, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
When I call, you hear me, Lord. Powerful sound. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor. You know, you always take us there. We just thank you for those blessings and songs of faith and testimony. Our hearts truly have been moved and encouraged. Thank you. Which takes us to time to talk to God, the only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. Find this selection. The next voice you will hear is our very own Deacon Sir Charles Tate, offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. Meet us at the altar and prepare to receive Sir Charles Tate. Pray to the Lord. Amen.
For your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Your goodness is
Amen. Amen. Okay. I guess it's time to pray. Pastor, I don't know if you hear that noise, but I'm getting a thumping in my ear.
No, you're loud and clear.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I was hearing something thumping in my ear. I don't know what it was. Sounded like somebody's knocking on the door. But at the same time, maybe somebody is. Good morning. Good morning. If you're hearing my voice, you know where we at right now. And I don't know if you just heard that song, but I hope you did. And the part that it says, your goodness is running after. It's running after me. What I need you to know right now is that whatever you're taking to the Lord, whatever you're putting before him, I have no idea what it is. All I know is what I'm taking to him. But I want you to understand this, that a long time ago, Jesus himself went to a cross on your behalf, and he carried each and everything that you're burdened with right now to him then. I know we like to think it was a long time ago, but for him, it was ever present, and it is still present today. But each and everything that's going on with you right now, you see, he's God, and he's God all by himself. And he knew that you would be where you are right now. But when it talked about in that song, your goodness is running after me. Always remember this, that what you're giving to him right now, he already knows about it. And what you need to do is take it to him and leave it with him. Because he's the only one that can really do something about it. And even though it seems like life has just came to an end right now, it hasn't. Because the reality of it is this. A long time ago, like I said, God knew that you would be in this place right now. And he prepared a way. He prepared a way. And he has the present, the past, present, and the future already in place for you. But what you need to do, like I said, is take it to him and leave it with him. Because you've been up all night, you've been up all day, you've been up days maybe, or even just minutes. And there's really nothing you can do about it. That's why you're giving it to him right now. So let's go to the altar. We were already there, but let's go to the throne, to the one that can really do something about it. Lord God, our Father, I thank you. Father, and I thank you for the opportunities you give us to come to you into your presence. Father, you told us, and you said, for us to cast all our cares on you because you care for us. You said to humble ourselves before you and you would lift us up. You told us that when we come to you and confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive our sins. You told us, you said, that when you hear things about us, whatever they are, we bring them to you. You cast them as far as the east is from the west. Father, you said you would never leave us nor forsake us. Father, you said that we are your children. You said that we've been adopted into your family. Father, you said, and you never hold anything against us. Father, your servant David said in Psalms chapter 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil at all, for you are with me. And you also said that surely your goodness and your mercy will follow us all the days of our life. Father, we're back in a place right now where we maybe did a full circle and came back again. But you don't, that doesn't mean anything to you. And when I say that, Father, what I mean is that it doesn't surprise you that we're back to you again, Father, because we just in these mortal bodies and we keep messing up every day. But you also told us, Father, that we've been declared not guilty. So, Father, if there's any sin right now that's coming between you and us, we're confessing that sin to you right now, Father, because you said if we're faithful and just to confess our sins, you'll clean us up and you lift us back up. Father, you told us too, though, that if we as your people would humble ourselves and pray and seek your face and turn from our wicked ways, then you would move on our behalf and clean and take care of us. And that's what you've done, Father. But what we have to remember too, Father, is that your Father and your loving Father and you're the good Father. You're the only true, real good Father. And one thing we have to do, though, too, Father, is that you said if you cast all our burdens on you, that you sustain us. You know, Lord, in these years that I've walked with you, Father, in these years that I've been around you, and I'm talking about from the first time I was from the birth up until now, Father, you have never, not ever did anything that you said you wouldn't do. The great part about it, Lord, is that when we come to you in prayer and we come to you, you know, you it's just really amazing, Father, that you care so much about us, Father. It really is. You say you know the numbers of hairs that are on our head, and we can't even start to fathom how many hairs are really on our head. But, Father, the great part about it is that some of us have got to the place now in our lives where there's not any hair left on our head. But that still doesn't stop you from caring about us like you did when we had a full head of hair, Father. You know, Lord, I just got to talk to you like me and you talk. Because of the simple fact, Father, I know no other way. It really is amazing, Father, that you care. The angels look upon us and wonder why it is that you care so much about us. They look, in your word, you say they look at us in amazement, wondering why it is. But, Father, why it is because you formed us in your own image. You made us out of the dust of the clay of the earth, Father. And you brought us to where we are right now, and we have absolutely nothing to do with it, Father, because we got here because of you. For the one that doesn't understand right now, Father, doesn't accept the fact, help them to come to the realization that they haven't did anything at all to get them to the place that they are right now. And even though it seems like they're in a place right now where they just can't get out, Father, help them to understand, like it talks about in Jeremiah, that you got plans for them, Father. You got plans for them. And you got a place to say you know the plans that you have for us, plans for us to prosper, plans for us to flourish, plans for us to do better. Father, you laid out every day of our lives, Father, just like it is. And all we have to do is just to continue to move on. Just like I said earlier, David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And sometimes, Father, it gets in our lives and we think we just can't make it. We can't see another day. But here we are right now, Father, in your presence, and it's another day. So what we have to remember, Father, is like it says in Lamentations, your mercies are new every day, and your faithfulness endures forever. Father, we got to understand, too, that you're the one we're supposed to go to. You're our refuge and our strength and our perfect self in the time of trouble, Father. You just, Lord, I can't even, it's not even a word that can describe what you are to us and what you should be to us, Father. And right now, Father, I just ask you to comfort that one, Father. Comfort that one that hasn't come to the realization, Father, of exactly who you are. And, Father, do for them that you've done for so many of us, Father. You just take time and mold them to be the way that you want them to be, Father. I pray that they just allow you to do what you want to do in their lives, Father. You know, you never promised us that we was going to have a bed of roses while we was here. You told us that we would have trials and tribulations, that things would go on. But you also told us to be of good cheer, Father, because you've overcome all this, Father. If we look into your word and look at your word, Father, it's, as we go from Genesis to Revelation, Father, we'll see it one time or another where you've always showed up and showed out on the behalf of your children. So, Father, for the one that hasn't accepted you yet, that's talking to you right now, Father, because we know when anybody, sinners and saints, get to their wits' end, Father, the first thing they do is call out to you. When it comes that time where, Father, it seems the last breath is going to be breathed out of their mouth, the first thing a person does is they call out to you. Father, even those that say they don't believe that you exist, Father, you can't tell me that when the time comes when it seems like it's all over, that they don't find a still, quiet place and reach out to the only God that really exists. See, nobody can lay claim to anything being done in this earth, in this world, in this universe but you. No other God but you can say they made anything. Not Buddha, not Muhammad, not each and every, any other one that comes up. Whoever else, the rest of them, our Father, they can't say that they laid claim to anything, they made anything. And they, and as long as if this place has been in creation, as long as the world has been in creation, they've never created anything. But Father, like I said, but you made it all, the sun, the moon, the stars, and everything. And like you say in Psalms, so I think it's chapter 8, Father, when it says, what are we that you're so mindful of us, Father, that you call us your masterpiece? You say you're the greatest thing that ever was made. We're the greatest thing to you that was ever made. So, Father, let us help it be that we come to know just whose image we were made in, and not just come to know it, but to absorb ourselves in it, Father. But we also are called to walk a certain way, Father. You gave us a book of instruction, and that's your word, the Bible. I love it when I think about somebody told me a long time ago, it's basic instructions before we even heard. Help us to be that we get into your word more, Father, and come to find out what it is that you really want to do for us. You see, because you're our everything. The great part about it is everything has been taken care of already, Father. You tell us don't worry about anything, to pray about everything. But you also tell us to seek you first among any. Seek you first, and everything else will be added unto us. Father, right now we're coming into the end of what we call the year, even though we know that time and space has nothing to do with you. You gave all of that to us so that we would be able to maneuver through these days that we go through. But right now we've come into another end, Father. We come into another end of another year. I'm about to move into a new year, Father. So let it be, Father, let it be that we move into what we call a new year, Father, that we don't take our old habits into the new year, that we let you completely take control of everything in our life, every aspect of our life, and then go with, like you said in Jeremiah, go with that plan that you have for us. Father, we tell you we love you. But we don't love you anywhere near as much as you love us. You showed your love to us that you sent your son here to die on our behalf so that we might be able to spend eternity with thee. And Father, we know by calling out to you right now, this can't possibly be eternity. You can't convince me any way, form, or fashion that this is it. But we look forward to that day when we look upon your face and we never have to go through this again. But while we're going through this, you tell us that you'll go through with us every step of the way. You tell us when we got to cry out to you, Father. You tell us when we got a problem to come to you. We sometimes turn to others, Father. But when we get to the end of our road, we eventually come back to you. So let it be, Father, that when we wake up every day, we come to you first, Father, that we come to that goodness and that mercy and that love and that care and all those good things that we're above, because all good things come from above, Father, and that's from you. Thank you today, Father, not making light of those that are going through things right now, Father, but you told us, like I said, that we would have things in our life that would come at us, that would try to throw us out. But, Father, let us remember what you did when you were here, when they were going on the sea in the storm. You got your pillow, you went down in the bottom of the boat, and you went to sleep.
And then when they came and woke you up, your disciples, you got up and you said, peace be still. Another thing, okay, everything that I made, you stop doing what you're doing. And that same God right now was the one that we're talking to, Father, that walked here on our earth, that came here to walk in our shoes just to know what we would go through, Father, so that he would be able to feel what we feel, to know what we know. And the same one is seated on the right-hand side of you right now, interceding for each and every one of us. We have a great high priest that speaks on our behalf, and that is our Savior, Jesus Christ, the Son of God himself, who came down here in the form of a man just so he would know what we would have to go through. So it's not anything right now that's surprising him that's bringing to us. And the great part about it, Father, you don't just hear our prayer, you answer our prayer. And when you answer our prayer, we have to understand you answer according to your will. But right now, Father, you also tell us to make our request known to you. So what I'm asking is that for those that need that answer right away, Father, just go ahead and do what you do. Bless them. Show them who you really are, Father. And then bring them along and help us like you've done for so many of us to understand that you're not just God, but you're the only true and living God. And you're a consisting God. You're an eternal God. And you never lie. And there's nothing impossible for you right now, Father. Do what they think is impossible. Show yourself to them this day, Father. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity you give me right now to talk to you, Father. We could do this for the rest of the day if you want to, Father. And sometimes help us to understand that that's what you tell us to do, to pray without ceasing, to continue to talk to you on a regular basis. But Father, because you said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, that means you're going to listen to what we got to say, Father. And that means you always have an attentive ear. You always got your ear open. It just amazes me, Father, like I said, that you care so much about us. But Father, you do. So show your love to us today as we move into what we call this new year and continue to do what you've been doing for us, Father, because, you know, we just can't make it without you. That's not just a song, Father. There's no way we made it without you. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity you've given me once again, Father. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray this morning. Amen.
Power and prayer. Thank you, Deacon Tate, for praying and making our request known to God. We appreciate you, and just have a great day. Thank you. All right. So far, we're having a great time this morning. With more to come, I just like to wish all a happy and prosperous New Year, and just thank you for allowing me to serve as your providing person all year, and just thanks for having me. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Saturday worship experience, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Saturday worship service is happening. Be the reason someone smiled today. Share the love, the joy, and the blessing. Amen. Okay, time for the preach word. A message from God. The best part, icing on the cake. The next voice you will have the pleasure of hearing is the Elder Joseph Stevens. Prepare to receive Joseph Stevens, the Elder Joseph Stevens, as he comes in his own way with a word from the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Just before the preacher comes on, I want to say to those who are listening on your computer, at 11 o'clock, that computer program will cut off. But if you're listening by your phone, it will continue right on. So if you're on your computer before 11 o'clock, dial in on your phone and you can hear the whole service. If not, you'll have to wait until after the service is over. And then once the service is completed, you'll be able to go back and listen and hear the entire service. Again, if you're listening on your phone at 11 o'clock, you're going to be cut off. But if you're, I mean, if you're listening on your computer, you're going to be cut off. But if you're listening on your phone, the service will continue on. And if you get cut off because you're listening on your computer, you can, after 5 minutes after the service is over, it will be uploaded, and you can listen to the rest of the service. Okay? God bless you. God keep you. And now, after this song, the preacher.
My heart has been healed.
Pastor O, Sister Sheila, Running for Christ Ministries and Blog Talk Radio. Oh, Lord, we thank you for bringing us through 2020, 2021, and to this 31st day of December, 2022. You are God, and there's no other God like you. The song just says, I am living proof. We are living proof. Something marvelous happened to us. We were prisoners. Your love broke us free. We were blind in unbelief, and you made us see. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I am living proof my God is on the move. There's nothing that he can't do. Faith rise up. Faith rise up. And then it goes on and says, I am walking, talking, living, breathing, hallelujah. Jesus saved me, freed me, and he's still moving, hallelujah. I'm walking, talking, living, breathing, hallelujah. Jesus saved me. I am living proof. And then there's another part, but I am evidence that my God is real. I am a miracle. My heart has been healed. Come and witness for yourself. He is revealed. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, Lord, we are truly blessed. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, you have blessed us to see and live through many things this year. Lord, we continue to pray for Running for Christ Ministry. Father God, bless them bountifully in 2023. Oh, Lord, we thank for life, health, joy, and peace. We thank you for your strength. We just bless your holy name. And, Father God, we continue to beseech you on behalf of each other. Father God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight and bless Running for Christ Ministries and Blog Talk Radio. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, we bless and praise your holy name and thank you for your presence in our lives. Now, Lord, I pray our obedience to your precious word, to your will in our lives in 2023. Lord Jesus, we need you, the Holy Spirit, now, more than ever. And Father God, as we depend on you, we know that you are depending and waiting on us to do and be what you have called us to be in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Last month I preached Galatians 5:22, and I based that message on the love, joy, and peace that we have in God. Galatians 5:22-23, King James says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. 23, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. We have often failed to understand how our fruit or lack of fruit has the effect that it has on Christians and non-believers. Lord, we pray again and ask that we will be fruitful servants in 2023. Subject, is my fruit pleasing God? And in parentheses, I need all nine. You remember last one I talked about, Tommy Hegel said, love, joy, and peace is our relationship with God. And only God can really give us the love that we need to have. Only God can give us the joy and peace that we need to have to walk out our lives on this earth as Christians, as brothers and sisters in Christ. Patience, kindness, goodness,
our relationship with people, which we will talk about today. Faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, relationship to ourselves, which if it's God's will, we'll preach at another time. But I will say, when we have all these in the proper place, people will be blessed, and the relationship that we are in will be in God's order. Notice I said God's order, because too many times, too many of us are in relationships and seeking relationships that are out of God's order, that are not in God's will. We must be filled and operating in the power of the Holy Spirit to truly have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, which is patience, gentleness, which is kindness, and goodness. And, you know, if you went to the Greek and looked that up, it would talk about forbearance or fortitude, long-suffering, patience, according to Strong's. Forbearance, what is that? A refraining from them, such as a debt, a right, or obligation that is due. But it also, when you look at other words that are tied into it, it talks about mercy, mercifulness, and leniency, words that we expect God to continue to have with us on a daily basis. Oh, hallelujah. To abide under, to endure trials, regardless of the circumstances. We have to have patience with other people. Long-suffering patience we often expect to receive from God, but fail to give to others. Christians who say or demonstrate living with short fuses, who blow up, lose their temper quickly and easily, lack the power to draw people to Christ. We can't have a short fuse and say we Christians. We cannot continue to operate with short fuses and expect people to believe that we really love them, that we are concerned, that we care about them, that we have compassion and God's agape love. How do we treat family, friends, classmates, co-workers, church members, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? Who came to your mind when I started asking that question? How do you treat them? How do you act in front of them, around them, and sometimes even in spite of them? Have you prayed for patience? Have you prayed for patience? And it seems that your patience is tested over, over, and over. I heard a preacher on the radio years ago, 103, when I was roaming through some channels, and he says, why did we pray for patience and then get upset when God allows someone else to come and test our patience? Later on in his message, he said, how will we know if we've gained any patience, if we're doing any better in the realm of patience, if it's not tested? Do you have patience at work, but often lose it at home? Why do we tend to have patience with certain people and just fail to tolerate others, some of them even in our families? What child you did, and you go off on them all the time? Patience, kindness, goodness, our relationship with people is important to God and our ability to evangelize or witness to them. Is God pleased with our fruit? Is God pleased with your fruit? God has been patient, real patient. He's been long-suffering with each one of us. Then when we repented and asked for forgiveness, he gave it. And then he tells us he remembers our sins no more. Sometimes even when we fail to repent or to pray to God, patient with us, long-suffering with us, and gives us time to realize that we haven't repented so that we will come and repent. Are we trying to have fruit without allowing the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us? Are you trying it on your own? Are you trying it in your power instead of his? Remember, the Holy Spirit is omnipresent everywhere. He's omnipotent, all-powerful. He's omniscient, knowing everything. And then only leads and guides us where the Father directs according to his word. God is far more concerned with our character than our comfort, Tommy C. Higgins. Thank God for his love, grace, mercy, and patience with us. 1 Thessalonians 5, 14-15, English Standard Version says, and we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. 15, see that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good one another and to everyone. Today is the last day of 2022. And I know many people make New Year's resolutions. I'm just going to say let us go into 2023 with God's agape love. Operate in his joy and peace. Be long-suffering and patient with others, just like he's long-suffering and patient with us. Continue to show gentleness and kindness and goodness in the power of God. What does kindness and gentleness look like according to the word? Think about it. Ruth asked God to show her daughters-in-law kindness, that show them the kindness that they had showed her and to the deceased, her husbands and her sons who were their husbands. David showed kindness to Mephibosheth, the grandson of Saul, the son of Jonathan. Proverbs 11:17 NIV says, a kind man benefits himself. Cruel man brings trouble on himself. The Good Samaritan had compassion, showed mercy and kindness and even love to a Jew who wouldn't even recognize him on the Jericho road. Who has God put on your heart to be kind and gentle to be good to? Who has God put on your heart? It might be somebody that you have told yourself that you can't stand them, you're not going to be around them, you're not going to ever do anything for them. Oh, but it may be God's will that you go to them and extend them the kindness, the goodness, the love, the mercy, the patience that God has extended to each one of us. Ephesians 4:32, God's word translation says, be kind to each other, sympathetic, forgiving each other as God has forgiven you through Christ. We can't pray the model prayer and fail to forgive. Let me say that again. We cannot continue to pray the model prayer and then fail to forgive others. said, if we fail to forgive them, guess what? God is not going to forgive you or me. Titus 3:4-6, God's word translation says, however, when God, our Savior, made his kindness and love for humanity appear, he saved us, but not because of anything we had done to gain his approval. Instead, because of his mercy, he saved us through the washing, which the Holy Spirit gives us new birth and renewal. However, what God had done for us. So what had he done for us? Titus 3:3, the God word translation says, indeed, we too were once stupid, disobedient, and misled. We were slaves to many kinds of lust and pleasure. We were mean and jealous. We were hated, and we hated each other. However, when God, our Savior, made his kindness and love for humanity appear, he saved us, not because of ourselves, but because of his love, his grace, his mercy. But God saw fit to send Jesus to show us the way. He suffered and died for our sins, that we might be called the sons of God. Love is kind. Ephesians 5:16, God's word says, make the most of your opportunities because these are evil days. So we have to make the most of our opportunities to show kindness, to show patience, to show goodness, to be long-suffering with others. 1 Corinthians 13:4-5:8 says, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud. 5, or rude. It does not demand its own way. Love doesn't do that. We do. Patience, kindness, goodness, our relationship with people. Have we, or do we pray to God and ask what it means to really be good? Many of us do good things, but are they God's things? We can do some good things, but God is waiting on the body of Christ to go out and be and do the good that he is waiting on us to do. Not what we feel like doing, not what we like to do, but what he wants us to do. Psalms 116:12, God's word translation says, how can I repay the Lord? King James says, what shall I render for all the good that he has done for me? One thing we can do, we can depend on the Holy Spirit to empower us to do the good that God the Father is waiting on us to go and be and do. Ephesians 2:10, the New Living Translation says, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. And I would believe that's even before we entered this earth, because he knew us in our mother's womb. We cannot do the good God expects in our power. Oh, Holy Spirit, we need you now more than ever. You know the plan God has for each one of us. I said earlier, do we know the difference in doing good things versus God's things? We have to operate and be obedient to the will of God. Do we do good to be seen or recognized by man? If so, repent. Romans 15:13-14, NIV says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I myself am convinced, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, that you yourselves are full of goodness, complete in knowledge and competent to instruct one another. So when we instruct one another, we encourage one another. When we encourage one another, we exhort one another to go and do and be in the will of God. And then 2 Peter 1:3-8 NIV says, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. 4, through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. 5, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. In the last verse, 8, for if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Is my fruit pleasing God? Lord, I want to be an effective Christian. Lord, I want to be productive in your purpose, your plan, your will. Lord, allow us to open our minds and hearts to receive and produce fruit. Patience, kindness, goodness, our relationship with people is very important part of our witness for God. We have to end the fruit of love which God has commanded. Agape love, not the worldly love that we call love. When we correct our attitudes regarding love, then we will find joy and peace that only God can give. Then we will be in the proper position to show patience, which is long-suffering, gentleness, which is kindness, goodness on a consistent basis in the power of God. We cannot do any of it in and of ourselves. Trust God to lead us, guide us, empower us, and use us to be a blessing to people and the body. Galatians 5:22-23, English Standard Version says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, 23, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Lord God, we fall short at times. Forgive us. And when you fall short, forgive yourself and move in the power, the fruit of the Spirit of God in 2023. The world teaches to get all you can, stuff on or stuff over all that you can. No one is more important than you. Me, myself, and mine. God says enough of that foolishness. Fruit has order, and God's purpose has order. Our relationship with people, and then faithful gentleness and self-control, the relationship to ourselves. What is our relationship with God, people, and ourselves? Let me say, when we put ourselves first or second, we are out of God's order. Because it's God, others, and then us. is my fruit-pleasing God. If not, why not? Lord, make us the fruit that you would have for us to be, because this world is getting worse and worse. This world is out of control. Our cities, our communities, our neighbors, and some even in our families are lost and going to a dying hell. Father God, make us to be the fruit that you have ordered us to be, so that we will be the salt and light to others, so that we will not be called hypocrites, so that we won't be called two-faced, so that people in the world will not ever be able to say that they talk out of both sides of their mouth, or in some cases, three sides. Father God, strengthen us to be the fruit that you want us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I find space for what I treasure. I make time for what I want. I choose my priorities, and Jesus, you're my number one. So I will make room for you. I will prepare for two, so you don't feel that you can't live here. Please live in me. Oh, no.
mercy. Pastor, we're going to have a conversation about what songs you play for these musical interludes. You cannot hear a sermon that we just heard, and then you play that song, and then I'm not going to be on here snotting and carrying on. Lord have morning. Good morning, everybody. Happy Saturday. It is the last Saturday of 2022. Please excuse my stuffiness. Pastor plays this song, and he knows I'm a crybaby, and so here we are, okay? Amen. So I just want to thank Elder Joseph Stevens, that's my cardinal, Elder Joseph Stevens, for bringing us a wonderful, beautiful reminder word. You know, it's a really wonderful way to just end the year on such a positive note, on such a positive message. You know, we're so thankful for the time that he always takes to bring us a wonderful word, and it was just a great way to end 2022. We put a nice little big red bow on that. God doesn't owe us anything, but everything that he did was because of us and was for us. So because of that, we owe God everything. Amen. So, yep, living this Christian life, it's hard. It's not the easiest thing. We're in these bodies, our flesh and our spirit are never going to line up. So there's always going to be a struggle. But we can do everything with God, okay? Everything is possible with him. And because he did everything for us, we owe everything to God. Amen. So going into 2023, we're going to be better. And just like the song said, we can move everything out of the way and make room for God and make him number one. Amen? Amen. So Elder Joseph Stevens, thank you so very much for the word that you brought to us today. Just want to sneak that in. You know, happy belated birthday. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. All right, y'all. Let me get my eyeballs together and my, you know, yeah. Anyway, it's Saturday. Amen. And so just by way of a couple of announcements, I need you guys to really listen up today. Sunday, tomorrow, January 1st, unbelievable. At 10 a.m., we will be having our Sunday worship service right here on Blog Talk Radio. Pastor O will be bringing us the word, the sermon series that we get, God's Plan for Life and Family. Amen. So we got our money together the last 3 weeks, and now we're going to get our families and our kids and everything together going into the new year. Amen. So just make sure to tune in here tomorrow at 10 a.m. for our Sunday worship service. Pastor O will be bringing the word, God's Plan for Life and Family. Amen. Also, don't forget, every Tuesday at 4 p.m., Minister Richard Overall is here on Blog Talk Radio with his series Training Day. Also, don't forget, every Wednesday at 6 p.m., we have our Bible reading class held here going through Jeremiah chapters 41 to 45. Naomi Carter will be the teacher for that class. Questions are available online on our church website, rfcm.org. Just click on the Bible classes, or if you're on pastor's email list, they've been emailed out, so you have them to be ready for class. Every Friday at 7 p.m., Deaconess Kathy Clyburn is on Blog Talk Radio with Bring Back the Family, so make sure to tune into that. Every Saturday at 11:30 a.m., Pastor Janice Tate and Bondage Breaker Ministries, of which she is the president of, has a women's Bible class. Again, every Saturday at 11:30 a.m. If you want to participate in that, please reach out to Pastor Janice Tate, who, again, is also the teacher for the women's Bible class. Amen? So this is a new announcement. I need everybody to turn their listening ears on, okay? So how many times have you heard that we are in the last days? Well, it's true. Every step we take into the future brings us closer to that day of judgment promised by God. But when will it actually be? Only God knows, and he has told us through his son Jesus that it will come when we least expect it. So there's that. Rather than focusing on when the end will come, as Christians, we need to be ready whenever Jesus returns. And how are you going to do that? Well, I'm so glad you asked. Amen. Running for Christ Ministries is pleased to announce a new Bible study of the inspired word of God as recorded in the book of 2 Peter. The beloved Apostle Peter shares his last words about how we can prepare for the last days. Deaconess Dr. June Rogers will be the discussion facilitator. Amen. So every Monday, beginning January 16th, all right, so put this on your calendar, January 16th at 6 p.m., we will discuss how to be equipped to recognize false prophets and prepare for the last days. Amen. So do not miss out
on this opportunity. We will use a study guide entitled The Book of Second Peter by Charlie Avila or Avila, A-V-I-L-A. The book can be purchased on Amazon. I already have mine in the cart. I think it's like $9 or $9.99 or something like that. But you will need that to be able to participate in the discussion. Okay, so you've got a couple of weeks off. Christian history has ended. But on January 16th at 6 p.m., we will be going through a book entitled The Book of Second Peter by Charlie Avila or Avila, A-V-I-L-A, again. The book can be purchased on Amazon, so make sure to have your book ready. Anybody who's been in any of June's classes, okay, whether in person or on Blog Talk Radio, she's an amazing, amazing teacher, okay? She taught last year. Don't get me to talking about that. Anyway, all right, so just be ready. I'm all over the place with that song, Pastor Clay. So just be ready on January to participate in this new class that's going to be facilitated by Deaconess Dr. June Rogers. Amen? Amen. Also, please remember that all of our classes and our services here on Blog Talk Radio are recorded, archived, and free. Please don't forget to check out our church website, rfcm.org. Pastor puts a lot of hard work into it. It's come a very long way. There's so many resources and jobs and information and books and classes, everything that you need on our website. Also, make sure to check your email on a regular basis. I mean, this is 2023 by like a couple of hours, okay? We should all be in tune with our email. So just make sure to check that out. Pastor sends out things all the time, and you want to make sure that you are informed. Amen? Also, use your social media to spread positivity. Use it to check on one another. Text one another. Call one another. Email, hello, Snapchat, smoke signal, message in a bottle, bird with a note. Y'all get all of that. Reach out to people. Amen. Y'all get the point. Make it a New Year's resolution. Put it on your to-do list, especially making contact with our Mothers on the Move at Run for Christ Ministries. They would love to hear from us. Amen. So if you need addresses and phone numbers for them or for any member, for that matter, please make sure to reach out to Sheila. Amen. Excuse me, y'all. If you would like to pay your tithes, and give any offerings. Again, the church website, rfcm.org, is the place to go. If you would like to give a love offering for Elder Joseph Stevens, who brought the wonderful message to us today, please, again, rfcm.org, click on the Tithes and Offerings tab, and remember to specify Elder Joseph Stevens for his name, and when you give your offering, we will see to it that he receives it. Amen. And so the Lord Jesus bless you in advance in your kindness and sharing with us and with him. And so as we enter into the new year, please pray for Pastor and Mrs. O, all right? We got all got nicknames, pen pals, my pen pal, baby Holy Ghost. You know, it's weird that we call her Mrs. O. That's so formal because we all have nicknames first. But y'all know who I'm talking about, amen? Make sure to pray for one another. Pray for all of our Run for Christ Ministry members who are facing upcoming tests and surgeries or procedures. Please continue to pray for the construction or the reconstruction, amen, of our church building. Please don't forget to pray for our young people because just Lord have mercy. We got new leaders that will be taking office in the House and in the Senate. I'm not into politics, but you always want to make sure to pray for those who have the rule over you, amen, and make decisions for you, okay? Continue to pray for our communities that we live in, our employment situations, whether you need a job, you're looking for a job, you don't like the job you got, you want to change jobs, whatever the case may be, take it all to the Lord, amen. Don't forget to pray for the Blog Talk Network. They are out, I believe. I know they're on the East Coast. I believe they're in New York or somewhere over there. But nevertheless, I mean, snow on top of snow on top of snow on top of snow. We're blessed that we haven't had any disconnections or anything because of the weather that they've had out there. So let's continue to keep them lifted up in prayer. They've been wonderful to us at Run for Christ Ministries, and we are very, very thankful for them. Amen. Please continue. Speaking of, you know, weather and, you know, when you talk about so much snow that people have got out of their cars because they were stalled and then they're buried in the snow, I mean, that is just tragic and horrible because, you know, first responders couldn't even use their equipment to get to people. So we please remember to pray for all those who have had to deal with such horrible weather. Amen. More locally, please pray for Nico Gaston, Deacon Rayfield Rogers, all of our mothers on the move at Running for Christ. Again, Mother Irma, Mother Cheryl, Mother Marilyn, Mother Persia. Pray for Nicole Seabrooks and Keila Freeman, who is in the hospital, as well as Ed Johnson. Amen. That is Sister Rebecca Johnson's cousin. Please keep him lifted up in your prayers. Amen. Again, pray for our president, our vice president, all the leaders of our country. Again, our children, our young adults. Don't forget to pray for one another. We just got the order, okay, of how we have to pray for things. And, you know, we think about ourselves last. You got to think about others, too, before we think about ourselves. But you're still on the list, so please make sure to make your request also known to God. Amen. Continue to pray for all those who are bereaved and mourning and grieving, all of those families everywhere we know, things like that. Just, unfortunately, don't stop, okay? Remember to keep all of those who are lonely, hurt, stressed, depressed, lost in your prayers, especially those who are lost, those who are confused and are unsure about whether or not God is who he really is, okay? We need to be secure in spots in heaven for people who are lost. And so you don't have to hit people upside the head with the Bible. Just give them your testimony about what God has done for you. It don't have to be long, drawn out. You don't have to give terrorizing stories to people. Just tell people how good God has been to you. Amen. Because it's the Jesus in us that people see, and that's what they look for, and that's what they grab onto. Amen. So if I tell somebody, man, I went to this restaurant and their food was so good, you should try it. That was 2 seconds of a testimony that I gave, and now potentially just gave this restaurant new business, all because of what I said of how great it is. So when you tell people how good God is, you know, you're not responsible for making sure they go right up to the throne and say, okay, you know, you're not responsible for all of that. All you're responsible for is giving people your testimony. And at the end of the day, they have the choice and they can make their own decision. But we have a responsibility. Amen? Amen. So as we approach a new year, I got a little poem to help you put things into perspective. And it's entitled, A New Year's Plan. I try to think of a clever new phrase, a slogan to inspire the next 365 days, a motto to live by this coming new year, but the catchy words fell flat to my ear. And then I heard his still small voice saying, consider this simple daily choice. With each new dawn and close of day, make your new resolve to trust and obey. Don't look back, caught in regret, or dwell on the sorrow of dreams unmet. Don't stare forward anchored by fear. No, live in this moment, for I am here. I am all you need, everything I am. You are held secure by my strong hand. Give me this one thing, your all in all. Into my grace, let yourself fall. So at last I'm ready. I see the way. It's to daily follow, trust, and obey. I enter the new year armed with a plan to give him my everything, all that I am. And this poem was by Mary Fairchild. And so we know that the holiday seasons have come and gone, but we still have the responsibility to be kind, compassionate, caring, and considerate of others and to others all year long. We have been created in the image and the likeness of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we should be projecting that same love, kindness, mercy, grace, and forgiveness that we expect from Jesus on to others. Amen. So happy birthday to all of the Blog Talk listeners all around the world who celebrated this past week, celebrated this month, or are celebrating today, the very last day of the year. Happy birthday to my sister Carmen, who celebrated on the 8th. Again, happy birthday to Elder Joe Stevens, who celebrated on the 9th. John celebrated on the 15th. And my sister Anita is celebrating her birthday today on December 31st. Happy, happy birthday to each and every one of you. God bless you for another year. Amen. And last but not least is your devotional for today. And it is entitled, Why Is This Not Working? If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. John chapter 13, verse 17. So January is the month for New Year's resolutions. Many people set lofty goals in late December for the upcoming year. Often among those goals is a commitment to get in better physical condition through diet and exercise. So, January is the month that tons of people join a gym. They are excited to begin their new routine, but alas, the euphoria of a, quote, a new, thinner me quickly wears off. the diet exercise plan goes out the window and life returns to the way it was. Everyone knows that a gym membership and good intentions are not enough to actually lose 20 pounds. It takes consistent action over time to see the results. And so it is in the spiritual life. Jesus said, if you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. The blessing is not in the knowing, it is in the doing. Psalm 111, verse 10 reads, a good understanding have all those who do his commandments. So think of it in the form of a mathematical equation. Information minus application equals information. Your life never changes. Information plus application equals transformation, and your life wonderfully changes. So doing Christianity at home. In the Christian life, the rubber really meets the road at home. Anyone can praise the Lord in the church, but the test comes when you leave the church. Without question, marriage and family are critical to our lives. Professional success pales in comparison to a happy marriage and family. If your home life is filled with turmoil, stress, and constant fighting, any blessings received at work will seem to ring hollow. And why is it that so many who claim to follow Christ have such dissatisfying home life situations? Could it be that they know what to do but are not doing it? They want to have a great marriage and family without doing the hard things necessary to have a great marriage and family. They want to have a deep walk with God without doing the hard things necessary to have a deep walk with God. Things like time in his word, time on their knees, and time with a small group of trusted believers for accountability and encouragement. So how you doing? There are some people I know who study the Bible, know the Bible, and quote the Bible, yet those same people are mean, cruel, selfish, stingy, jealous, and bitter. They are just like the Pharisees of old who studied God's word, taught God's word, but never truly obeyed God's word. They merely gave lip service to the commands of God. So are you falling into the same trap? As you soberly look at your life, are you actually what God says to do? So one, are you seeking first the kingdom of God, or do you have God on the back burner? Two, are you forgiving people who hurt you, or are you holding on to grudges and a spirit of unforgiveness? Three, are you loving your wife even when she is not very lovable, or are you ignoring her and doing your own thing? Four, are you respecting your husband even when he is not very respectable, or are you constantly chipping away at him with disrespectful barbs and snide comments? Five, are you disciplining your children and training them up in the fear of the Lord, or are you too tired to really enforce any loving, healthy boundaries? Six, are you trusting God to work all things together for good, or are you frustrated with God and the circumstances he has allowed to come into your life? My friend, there is no time like a new year to start doing what God says to do. Does Christianity really work? Yes. Does it really change a person from the inside out? Yes. Does it really change marriages, families, and bad situations? Yes. But it doesn't do anything unless you put it into practice. Real faith is always associated with action. Start doing his will today by obeying his word. You will be amazed how the blessings will begin to flow as you become a doer of the word and not just a hearer of it. Amen. And from Pastor and Mrs. O and all of us at Run for Christ Ministry, to all of you who tune in weekly and will tune in the future, have a very blessed, safe, and happy new year. Amen. Amen. And those are your announcements.
Well, don't blame me.
No, Deacon Eric. That's Deacon Eric all day.
That's Deacon Eric Reed. You know,
Deacon
he
Eric.
Just jumped up in my head. Let me get in that pastor with a good, wow. Hey, when the first time I heard that in the church, I was like, oh, wow, they do that in here? I didn't know what was going on. I later understood they was just, I don't know what well mean when you know
that's,
what does
that
it mean?
I concur.
With that definition, well, I'm telling you,
amen.
All they gotta do is put us on stage, and we immediately turn into a comedy show. What's up, Crystal?
Ain't
what's
that
up?
That
why
know?
Why
I
you make
know.
Me
what's
act
up,
like
asshole?
That all the time?
I don't know.
Amen.
I have no
I forgive
idea.
You though.
Thank you. Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
Hey, I want to thank you for a whole year of announcements without fail, except for the few times that I had to do it. You know, other than that, you was right here.
Amen.
Amen. So I thank God
my
for
lane.
You.
Amen.
Yeah, I'm telling you, you know, every time I get in your lane, people are like, what are these things? Like, shut up, I ain't cool.
Amen. Amen. We all got a part to play. We all stay in our lane. That's what we do at Run for Christ. We all in our lane. Amen. Pastor, I think
and
you
thank
muted
you
yourself.
For
There you go.
Thank you for playing your part so faithfully
Amen.
And well.
Amen. Amen.
Tell
me,
I say, what's
God.
Up?
I shall. Amen. Amen.
All right, Crystal, be blessed.
All right, you too.
Happy New Year.
Amen.
That's
Happy
my
New
other
Year.
Mind said that. My other mind said, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Otherwise, I'm on this baby. Holy Ghost. Amen.
Exactly. Your voice of reason and logic.
Yes, indeed. I'm telling you, she always suggested something. I don't even have it in my head.
She's amazing.
She's like, don't you want to do this? I'm like, do what? Hey,
we
man,
all need like a pocket
Lord.
Version of Baby Holy Ghost. Amen. We all need a pocket version of her. Amen.
I'm telling you, so you can go somewhere and just bring out the pocket. Should I get
just
this
pull her out.
Not? What's
there
up?
You go. Yep.
No, put that back. Get that over there. You don't know why you even pick that up? What's your problem is? Well,
it would be amazing. You have to talk to Jesus about reproducing her.
I'm telling you. I'm telling you. Everybody needs a baby Holy Ghost, right?
Amen. Oh, you got that right. Jesus
I got
help.
A couple
Amen.
Of them. No, Sharon, she's a baby Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
She's a baby Holy Ghost. They all be fussing at
oh,
me,
yeah.
too. The both of them. They
yeah.
just fuss at me.
Praise
I don't
God.
Know what they
That's why you are who you are today. That's why who you are. You are who you are
Oh, so
today.
You just
going to
jump on their side.
Yes. I love that they
teaming
get
up.
Too.
You got a Vitris. The Vitris got me going to doctors, you know, and getting all them old crazy tests and all that stuff.
That's right.
You know.
That's right. You know, we are well equipped at Running for Christ. We got one out of everything at Running for Christ. Amen. So, we are well put together over there.
Be blessed, Crystal, for this lady
Amen.
Getting my
you
ears
too.
Cut me off.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We thank God for each and every one of you. I want to thank God for Deaconess Kathy Clyburn. She's been faithful. You know, like I say, she's the one who finally pushed me over. Her John got me started, John McFall, who's in heaven now, left us here still suffering, and he up there having hallelujah parties all day, well, all forever, amen. But he pushed me to get it started, and then Kathy pushed me to actually do it. 8 months later, I was kind of scared, a little scared, 8 months worth of scared. But anyway, she got me over there, so I thank God for her. And for everybody else who comes on here, you know, who came in today. Kathy did the scripture and prayer. Amen. Okay, we're getting other calls. But anyway, Kathy did the scripture and prayer. Deacon Charles Tate, he's been around since the beginning. We talk all day, every day. So anyway, I don't even need to mention that. But we never stop talking. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I really thank God for him. He helped me to have enough faith to get rid of a $76,000 debt. So, you know, ever since that, I kind of look at him like, you know, with a straight eye, be like, what else you got to say? Amen. But anyway, we've been had an awesome time. So I thank God for him, for Deaconess June Rogers. I don't really want to get into names because I'm going to miss somebody, and somebody say, I've been there since the beginning, and you ain't even mentioned my name. Amen. So I want to mention everybody who prays altar calls, everybody who does scripture and prayer. Blog Talk Radio happens, especially all the preachers. The preachers, I don't have to preach a whole lot on Saturday, and I thank God for each and every one of them because I have something to do Monday through Monday. And, okay, they help me out tremendously. I want to thank assistant pastors, assistant number one, Janice Tate, number two, Jonathan Tate, associate pastors, Sarah and Terrence Tate, all of the deacons and deaconess, all of the executive board. Ooh, I love the executive board. Amen. And all the members of Running for Christ Ministries. We all together under Jesus makes this happen, powered by the Holy Spirit. And so I thank God for all of us who do the will of God. I thank God for the new preacher that's coming on board, Lachelle Anderson. She's going to be preaching here on some Saturday, 5th Sundays. And for Elder Joseph Stevens, who is great pastor, with the big old heart, loans him out to us. Thank God for Bishop Butler, who has given us Michelle Anderson and Richard Overall, who has this show on Tuesdays at 4 o'clock. Amen. And for all of everybody who has helped to make this Blog Talk Radio what it is, I thank God. Let me look real quick before I tell a lie. Okay, I just want to go right here and see that we have 131,710 people that we've been able to reach out and touch. We are real big in the United States, of course, and in Canada, we're just about 2%. In South Korea, we're about 2%, and we're approaching 1% in Japan and India. Of course, we're all over Africa, in the Sudan, South Sudan, Kenya, Zambia, South Africa, Nigeria, Ghana, and so many other places in Europe. But we just thank God for each and every person that the Lord has allowed us to be able to reach out and touch. And all of this happens because we all work together to do what God wants us to do. We all, like Crystal say, stay in our lane, and we get it done. So God bless you, and God keep you. Amen. Now let us do the benediction. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all until we meet again. And the whole church said amen.
She can ride on my heart.
My heart.
I know whatever you do, it's gonna be a work of art. It's gonna be beautiful, even if it is graffiti. Cause you can turn a mess into a masterpiece. On my last CD, I painted everything all red. Now I got all these colors going through my head. Maybe it's because my old ways are dead. Old skin had to be shed. Oh yeah. Take a paintbrush and dip it in the tears I cried. Paint over all my wrongs and make them right. I know my journey has been by your design. All I gotta do is follow the signs. You can paint over my life like a Picasso. Make music with my life like a piano. Now I'll show your glory everywhere I go. And everyone will know.
Around and give it away for free. When you don't know the value of a gift, you can mess it all up like me. It's funny how everybody else can see what you don't see. Maybe you're too close, cause from here it's a masterpiece. See, God can take your dirt, turn it into clay. Make something beautiful, then he can put you on display. Right in front of your enemy, you'll be eating that steak. You'll be like, give me that masterpiece, put it right here on my plate.
God knows what he's doing for you, and you gotta trust his word.
And when you're going through the process like a tattoo, you be like, that hurts. When God's done, it's gonna be flawless, everything according to his will. You see, he's the master artist.
I'm not what I used to be.
I'm not what I used to be.
finish what you started in me, and my life will be a masterpiece.